right in the middle time.
Really? That's not late at all, ma'am.
We didn't quite get started. So we'll start the meeting at 6 o'clock, and Teddy with the certificate of compliance.
We are. The meeting was posted on January 1st and January 6th.
Okay, well, everybody's in attendance except Michael Skolitsky's out of town in Lima, Ohio. On a business trip, so he's excused.
Okay.
Both members of Youth and Governance are here. Madeline and Eddie. We have some members for staff here, so do you want to begin with the agenda item?
We can. So let me start with correcting. I did so via email, but let me do so for the record tonight, that our records for attendance for our Youth and Governance members had an error in it for Bennett Marjorowski for the Finance and Admin. He had attended 5 of the meetings. Our records had indicated he attended 4. So that was his 45%, but he actually is at 50%, so he did meet the minimum requirement. So I think I even shared in the email that I had a conversation with him. We talked about it. I was very direct about that's not a proud attendance record. We hope that you continue to make all the rest of the meetings and that you make this a priority. So he understood. But I also said, thank you for calling, because if it wouldn't have been for you following up, we wouldn't have necessarily known that you had not made your attendance. So the county board chairman then did not recommend that he be replaced. So he is currently continuing on finance and admin. Okay. Now, I need to...
Well, let me just say for the committee then, we could just note it in the minutes for this meeting, or do you want to make a note in the old minutes, an amendment to the old minutes? Because technically we didn't know about it then, but...
Can we make a motion to reconsider?
Yeah. Well, we could tonight, but I was thinking more on the line that just kind of a notation that, let the records indicate that he actually had a 50% attendance record or something to that effect, so that...
So in other words, he's asking, can you go back to the December minutes and insert a note in those minutes saying...
A note that we didn't know about, but we do know now.
I don't see why we can't.
I don't see why we can't either. Is it
clear? Just put out there what date we're inserting this little note, though.
Well, which we need to do, though, when we approve the minutes tonight later.
Okay.
We'll put a note in there that due to a clerical error that was actually 50%, so he was within the minimum requirement.
Great. So you guys will do that over there when you approve the minutes with that extra
note. I think
note.
We should.
Okay.
I mean, if I was a high school student, and more or less, I wouldn't want it on my permanent record, so to speak.
Looking out for you. See that? These adults are looking out for you. Absolutely.
So you'll make that motion when you... One of somebody else will say, approve the minutes.
Okay.
You can have it in the minutes tonight.
Yeah, I'm jotting a note so April will catch it both ways. And I'll make mention of it to her too, so you guys will remember to do that, I'm sure. Okay, I'm flooding you with paper and I apologize, but I thought this might be easier than you trying to keep up opening all those attachments I sent you, right? But at least
good idea.
If you wanted, you would have had a chance. So tonight's our night to dig into all the elements of our Youth and Governance program. So I'm going to kind of start with the very beginning, and the very beginning is what you see in front of you is the nomination form. So you were sent the nomination form as County Board Supervisors. It's out in the press. Bethany, they tell us we have to leave the door open because it's a public meeting. I know. I said the same thing, but I've been told we have to leave it open.
Open
so.
Meeting laws.
Yeah, but I'm with you. I would have done the same thing.
It just has to be cracked.
Okay, there we go. It's gone out to the press. Some of you may have seen it. It's actually appeared twice now in the Kenosha News. It's on our website. It's on the county's website. But most importantly, it's been mailed to every school, principal, and guidance counselor in the high schools even high schools that are not physically located in Kenosha County but have students who attend. So, for example, Union Grove High School. We do have Kenosha County residents who go to Union Grove High School. So that school gets a chance to nominate youth as well. And then lastly, Carmelo sent it to all the current youth and governance members saying, hey, guys, you too can be nominating from students that you know in your schools. So if anything, I would encourage youth and governance members to make sure you turn in a form with some names. But as supervisors, you too, please.
Do we know if we get many that way from the...
Yes. Actually, we get a lot of them from students.
Do we?
We really do.
Okay.
We really do. We do. We probably get the most from the guidance counselors. Mm-hmm. But I would say then we get from our other youth and governance members. Some of them turn in quite a few names. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they're the best ambassadors, right? I mean, you're the ones to talk about the program. So, okay. The nominations are due February 6th. After those come in, we create a database, and you then see the next page is the letter. Every youth who's been nominated gets this letter. Congratulations! You've been nominated. Wouldn't you like to be a part of youth and governance? Here's what it takes, and then we list all the requirements, the current requirements. If we change those, the letter will change tonight. We give them an application form and the reference form that they have to complete, and they have to turn those in by March 6th. Then we tell them right there in the letter, once your application's been received, a committee will extend face-to-face interviews to the top candidates based upon your application and your references. And the interview dates are going to be March 31st and April 1st. We tell them the time frame is from May to May. Okay, so they get this letter. Attached to the letter, as you see next, is the actual application. So the application describes youth and governance. It gives them a description of the committees. Note that we took off the executive committee. Okay, that's not on there anymore. The length of term.
The letter says seven committees.
Mine says six. Do you have a different letter? One, two, three, four, five, six. Mine says
six. No. In this letter.
Oh, in this letter. Thank you. Thank you.
One of the seven county board committees.
Thank you for catching that.
Well, they do have a judiciary committee. Do you have that listed? Okay.
Yep, we do. Do you know what I think we could do to make this easy? Is to serve on one of the committees. We'll just take the... It's so hard for us to keep that up. I'm just going to take the word seven out completely and just say serve on one of the county board committees. Excellent catch. These are the kind of edits we need, so multiple eyes are always helpful. Note that we highlight that county bus tour is the last Wednesday in June, and if you're not able to participate in the bus tour, do not apply. Okay. The application, as you see it, they are required to handwrite it themselves, we hope. We don't see any parental-looking penmanship. And they must attach a photo. And for those of you who've gone through the interviews before, you know the photo is only a way for us to remember who they are. Because you're going to see 26 kids in two nights. It's just so hard to remember, oh my gosh, who was Eddie again? What was Malin? Who was that person? You know. So it helps us. It's a visual reminder. It has no bearing on them getting selected.
Do our two participants of they this
do.
Committee participate in the interviews?
They do. This is how the interviews are structured, and I have the sign-up sheet right here. As chairman, you participate in both evenings, and our two youth and governance members participate in both evenings. The remaining four members pick a night, and so two one night and two the next night. So there's always the same number, but only three of you are participating each night. Okay, so the supervisors who are here tonight, in fact, I'll just pass the chart. You can choose. It's going to be the Tuesday, the March 31st, or Wednesday, April 1st.
April Fool's Day?
It is April Fool's Day.
You have no choice.
I don't have a choice.
Isn't democracy wonderful?
And so the interviews are held.
So we just signed up for one.
You can just sign up for one night. And note that the interviews are held at the Kenosha County Admin Building, not here. Kenosha County Admin Building, not here.
Second floor.
Okay.
I'm in the interview with you, guiding the process. Carmelo is out in the hall. He's greeting the youth as they come in to try to help them feel a little comfortable and less nervous. Because I think you're just a little nervous when you're sitting out there in the hallway, just a tad. He's also taking their photo.
Wow.
And he's taking their photo so that we can create that roster. And then we've already got their photo, because they're already, this is about the best they've ever looked, right? I mean, you look so good, you come dressed up, and it looks great. So we've got these great photos. So we have a lot of photos, and some of them we never use, we just delete. Yeah. We only keep the photos.
Hand this to Mike.
Oh, sure.
Aaron doesn't, she can go either.
Oh, you can go either way, so yeah. You'll take whatever.
Yeah, I'm not close yet. Because
Supervisor Splitsky's schedule might be a little bit more.
Oh, I see. So you'll just flex and take whatever's open? Okay, sounds good. All right, so that's the interview process, and we'll get to the interview questions in a minute. So that's the application form. The last page of the application form is a reference that we ask they have an adult complete, and that adult puts that in a sealed envelope to us so that we know that it is as accurate or as confidential as we possibly can get it. I'm going to tell you right now that it is not unusual, and I will say this last group of applicants probably more than most. It's not unusual to have a student complete this because they didn't read the directions. And they thought, well, yeah, I'm going to put my name down here, and is my leadership qualities excellent? My maturity excellent? I'm excellent, excellent. And then you see it, they signed it, they printed their name, and they even signed it. And I'm like, okay. That application doesn't even get considered. Okay, it goes in another pile. So I just want you all to know that. I mean, that immediately tells us right then, right there, this is a person who's not reading the directions. Okay. So you might want to pass that nugget along down there, people, okay? All right, so that's the application. The next page are the policies. And I think if you're gonna make any edits or suggestions or changes or add new policies, tonight's the night to do that. So that it then can be, we can edit all these documents and make sure when it all goes out in February we're correct. But simply, they must be in 10th or 11th grade at the time they apply. Non-attending youth participants, so mentors, contact the Extension Committee chairperson. I see that how old this is. It was called the Extension Committee back then. So that if a mentor is ever concerned that a youth member is not attending properly, they would contact Supervisor Noble and just express that, and then we'd start the process of saying, let's dig into it and find out why, what's the issue going on here, okay? We screen, that's Carmelo and I screen the applications to narrow it down to that 25, it's been 26, been 25 or 26 to be interviewed by you. We do strive for representation across the entire county, so we try really hard to look at equal opportunity, and that's everything from racial and ethnic diversity, but probably more importantly is diversity across the high schools, so that there is great representation. So we don't have, you know, 8 kids from Tremper and 5 from Bradford and 3 from West Ocean. You know, we try hard to make sure that diversity as representation is equitable. Attendance is probably the one that's had the most conversations over the last several years, and why we've added, as you can see, in 2010 and 2014, attendance expectations. You're familiar with the 50% requirement, so that one has been done now since 2010. The latest one is the one that this current class is now expected to adhere to, and that's attending one county board meeting during their term. I have not followed up with the county clerk to ask her at this point what the attendance record is, but I think some of you have told me that you actually have seen YIG members at county board meetings.
But, and they do announce who's there, so it would be easy to just look at the minutes and find out for the record.
Okay.
I mean, it's always in the minutes that such and such a youth and governance person has attended.
And so I'm assuming they sit at the chairs that are sitting up front for the side chairs. Yeah, yeah, good.
Which is right.
The chair always recognizes them.
Excellent. Great. Good. Not to put you two on the spot, but have you majors yet?
Not yet.
Okay.
I've been really busy with fire stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So you get it.
Fire stuff?
Yes.
Choir. Oh,
fire.
Oh, fire. What's fire stuff?
My house burned down in July.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So,
more meetings are 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Depending on them. They were pretty close to last, since budget, about 35, 40 minutes.
What's that?
Our county board meetings.
Yeah. some are. I mean, there's a couple of young people have come to a long one, and I'm like,
did they? You picked the wrong one.
Look at the agenda. Go to the short one.
Hey, there's a piece of advice. Look at the agenda.
Not a sandbag in life, you know.
Pick the ones that.
You guys have access to the agenda.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Look at the agenda, and we'll give you a real hint of, you know, whether it's going to be a long, drawn-out night or.
Smart. Work smart.
That's good. I love it. Good. In 2013, we had to institute a new policy because we had youth and governance members who were either related to a committee member, meaning a county board supervisor, or they were related to someone employed in the departments and divisions. So we had to get a little purposeful about saying you can't serve on the same committee if you are a family member of a supervisor or a member of that committee and or someone who's employed in that department. So we did that in 2013. Then we have the interview questions that say, if your child or family member is participating in an interview for youth and governance, as a county board supervisor, you won't participate in the interview. We had that as well. So we're all sometimes the events themselves cause us to look at policies that we didn't even think of when we were starting the program. On the back page, you'll see that we then have created a policy that prohibits a youth from participating both in our youth and governance program and our youth as resources program. And the reason for that is both programs are a selection process. You have to apply and be selected. And there's a very small number of seats in each one of those programs. So in order to provide as many youth an opportunity to be engaged in a leadership program, we have said you can choose one or the other. And believe it or not, we have actually had youth who have been accepted in both programs and they've had to make a decision. Do I want to be in YIG or do I want to be in YAR? So.
YIG or YAR.
Really? And then you have to keep it straight. And Carmel and I get confused all the time. YIG, YAR, what are you talking about? And then the most recent policy is the one instituted last year in February for requiring the bus tour. So now is your chance to say, are there any reasons to consider any new policies, to make a decision to institute something new?
Do we want to, on the reference form with the, that you require as an adult? Okay, so do you want to make it so it's not only provide additional comments in the space below, but would you want to try and make it so the adult writes a reference letter for them?
A letter of recommendation.
Yeah, like a letter of recommendation. Instead of just having comments below.
Well, you could say space below or attach a letter of recommendation. Just add the words or attach it.
And actually, we've had many, many teachers who do that. Mm-hmm. I mean, they do it on their own. We've seen those, haven't we? Supervisor Decker, you've just, the attachments,
yeah. Chairman Noble's comment, I think, is a good one.
To just say, or provide a letter?
Yes.
Okay.
Or provide a letter of recommendation.
We could definitely do that.
Can I recommend, where we talk about the bus tour, where it's highlighted that there's a mandatory bus tour, maybe put a couple of sentences in there explaining it, just so they know what we're talking about, because you know, we know what it is, but they're like, what am I doing? Drive around and look at the county?
Sure. That's a good suggestion. Yes, we could definitely do that.
That they're going to go and see almost all the departments, and it's informational, and it's a good learning tool to see how the county works, you know, something like that, but real short.
Very good.
Just so they know what we're talking about.
Where is that?
Number 9 on the...
On this one.
Yeah, it's the second page of the application went up.
Because this is what the kids
on the
backside. And it seemed like last year we had a lot less kids and from previous years, and it may have been because of this bus tour, and I don't want to scare them off because of the bus tour.
Actually, you had more this year than any year because they all were mandated to be there.
No, not on the bus tour, I mean applications.
Remember, we had a
huge drop off of applicants.
Yeah.
Oh, right here. Note the mandatory. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So explain
that's a good
it.
Point.
Good, yeah, good suggestion.
So, I'm sorry, go ahead, Matt.
Let me, I was going to ask, what did you get, what do you think of the bus tour?
I thought it was really helpful and it was interesting because you got to learn about all of the other departments. The only thing is, I mean, it would be a lot less efficient, but it would kind of be interesting to do the bus tour before you selected what committee you wanted to be on, just because then you could see all of the committees and see what they do before you actually decide which ones you want to be.
You're right about the efficiency part. It'd be a night, a scheduling night.
Yeah. But it was just...
How many applications?
Well, if you flip... That's a great question. Flip a little deeper into your pile, and the green sheet, the lime green, I even made it a color so we could, it would stand out. Look at that lime green sheet, and we'll look at your statistics for a second. So this is last year's. Last year, we received 174 nominations, but we only had 23 youth who actually chose to apply. So we interviewed all 23. Okay. Now flip to the back side, and you'll see the cumulative statistics. So over the years, you can see how in 2013-14, we had 229, our biggest year ever, of nominations, and we had 60 youth apply. We interviewed 26. So this kind of gives you a sense of how...
Could you add to this sheet how many were actually served then? Because ultimately, after some number of years, we could say we've had 976 or 283 applications. And
how many youth have actually served? You're right, because the numbers have changed. We started out with 14 or 17, then we went down. Yeah, how many have served? That's a good point. Yep.
It's interesting that the Harborside, Indian Trail, Lakeview, and Tremper have the most. Is there in the West Coast? Why?
Actually,
Bradford, I mean, five, Lutheran, and St. Joe,
Estosia.
Is there any?
I'd say it's a function of those principals and counselors. It's the people.
I would agree.
It's the people.
And if you have a lot of, or your Westosha Central kids, there's several of them right on the committees, they're going to nominate more
they
kids.
They do nominate.
And be voices to their friends saying, oh, it was a great experience. You guys should really do it. You know, they're good voices in the school.
Well, we have, like, a teacher, because I found out about this due to my history, my AP history teacher, and he was really vocal on, like, advertising it to all of his students. So I think that was a big part on that. Like, he had, like, people that were at our high school come in and talk to us about
so
it.
So you're
at Central.
Yes.
This is it goes to the principals primarily?
It goes to principals and school counselors. However, if you were a teacher and you've nominated in the past, you get the letter, too.
So Westosha Central has some good advocates.
Obviously.
Teachers advocates.
So does Tremper. I'm kind of, Bradford kind of.
Tremper's got a couple of aldermen that teach on Tremper.
That's true, too.
And they have a tendency to...
If you know someone
Bradford
from a school...
Bradford near territory?
What's that?
Bradford near district?
No.
Who says that?
We're in Dodge. I think it's Dodge.
Okay.
What do they call the class now that you take that's about civics or whatever?
Government.
Government. Do they have a class now?
Yeah, they have government and AP government.
Maybe they should send it to those instructors.
We encourage the teachers. I mean, we encourage them to. We say that.
Okay.
We do. We say, please share this with the teachers who are in the best position to nominate as well as the counselors. Yeah.
Were we the first county in Wisconsin to do this?
Oh, no.
Not in Wisconsin?
No. No, we were probably six, okay. Number six. But we're probably the best.
Yeah.
I mean, just a suggestion, like with the high schools that have lower number of nominations and applicants, you could like more push for like classes such as like government or AP government or history that you have like maybe like a youth representative like in youth and governance, either like an alumni or like one of us, or if like possible somebody like from like one of the boards or something like that come and talk to the kids and explain it better. Because I mean, I'm sure like Bradford and Ruther and like all the high schools that have lower attendance, I'm sure like they don't really advertise it that much.
It's a great idea, and we say this every year. You all should be the best voices of this. Don't rely on the extension office. Go forth, pass out the information, contact the teachers you know, contact anybody that you know.
I think what she's, are you a volunteering to give it a try with one of those schools?
If, I mean, if I had the opportunity to, I
absolutely.
Would, but
you
I
just,
mean,
so I think she's asking that maybe somebody, if somebody from your office would set up and set up something, you'd be willing to go and
talk with Carmelo. Absolutely, chat with Carmelo. We can have any youth and governance members absolutely do that. Melon, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Welcome that opportunity.
It would be a good learning experience for you too, because you'd be, you know, talking in front of a group. And
yeah.
I don't know about any of you, but I find it most interesting at the high number of nominations and the few number of applications.
Yeah, that is odd.
Well, I know from personal experience that there's kids that they want to get nominated so that they can put on their college application, I got nominated, but they don't actually want to go through the process. Yeah.
Really?
Oh, so you can actually use that as a feather.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Really?
I never thought of that. You got nominated, and you got your letter, so you've got proof that you've been nominated.
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, I know.
Well, and actually, I also have to say, in reality, you don't want hundreds of applications. You're only going to select 14.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
You only have 14 spots. You don't want to interview 80 kids for 14 spots. Right? Yeah. So, I mean, that's why I hear what you're saying about the marketing and the promotion, but keep it all in perspective. You still only have 14 slots.
Mm-hmm. You know what, the bus tour, and this goes back to the buzz thing where people, it seems like the kids are lost with the finance committee. Is it somehow possible to frame a little bit about, you know, this is what it is, but there's all, you know, the cost involved with it when they do the bus tour, possibly, as opposed to just, you know, I mean, I don't know which tour, but, you know, you're just walking through, say, the highway garage, and you're looking at trucks and this and that, and, you know, frame it with, you know, some numbers that we do 13 miles of road every year, and it costs, you know, budgeting $2 million for that, and we usually have to replace one or two trucks a year for a couple of 250,000, and these are the type of things, you know, that you're going to be talking about when we do our most important thing, which is improving the budget.
Well,
Eddie,
what if you guys tried moving the bus tour earlier, and you had the bus tour before you had the interviews themselves, like select everyone?
Then we would have too many kids on the bus.
How many kids am I going to have on the bus?
23.
No, because we you're just saying the interviews.
That's what he's saying, though.
You select
after
before
you narrow it down
so
to who
bring
you're
in 23
interview.
Before you interview.
Yeah.
Well, one of the problems is you're still in school.
Yes.
That's number one problem.
I think, personally, it would work better if you did it on, like, a weekend or something like that.
I know what?
We're not open.
The county departments aren't staffed on weekends.
Okay, well, like, with my personal experience, like, I wasn't able to go on the bus tour because I hadn't had my tonsils out, and the only time I was able to do that was in the summer. There's plenty of, like, I don't know.
No, you unfortunately had it.
You joined the crowd.
Yeah, I want to go back to Supervisor Noble's comment. Almost every department head says that.
Says what?
Gives a perspective of the fine. I mean, especially I'm thinking about Gary Sipsma. He said, how many miles of roads we plow? How many the budget? What I'm going to tell you is, and you all tell me if I'm wrong, you hear that and it does this. Zip.
I was going to suggest.
It's right over your head because you don't know what he's talking about. It doesn't make any sense to you. You're like clueless. What is he talking about?
It's almost better if the bus tour was at the end where the kids are comfortable and kind of know what they're doing.
Yeah. But then they don't get as
right,
much of
but
a perspective.
Know, a lot of it goes over their head where if they, you know, don't you think if you went on that bus tour in, let's say, March, wouldn't you get a lot more out of it because you've been sitting here for a year?
Yeah.
Just, you
well,
know,
and the other thing I would say is
for an introduction, but for them to really get a lot.
The other piece we need to do is really empower young people to ask the questions. The questions that Carmelo heard at the buzz session are questions they could have easily asked their mentor or any supervisor on the committee.
got a question. When you go to the highway department, you know, hand them a fly sheet saying, you know, you said they say it goes right over their head. Now they got a piece of paper in their hand. Oh, look, 13 miles of road we paved. You go down to Human Services Department and, well, now you're going to get the acronym because they're going to have, you know, basically just one sheet of paper from every department that he's.
Some of our departments do that.
The bus,
yeah.
And, you know, they go.
Yeah, you're right. Some departments do hand out paper. You're right. Some of them, you're right. Human Services is one that does because they have so many programs and lots of acronyms.
Human Services is tough. You walk through that building, it's, you know, yeah. It's easy to get turned around and, you know, there's no real.
Yeah. Madeline?
Do other committees have it where the youth come in sort of before they take, like with Eddie and I, like I know during the summer that we had a discussion about how like this committee works and like what they talk, what you guys talk about in there and stuff like that. Do other committees have that? Because I know when I served on finance and administration, we did not do that.
I'm not quite getting your question.
You mean the work session on Tuesday?
Do you know?
Yeah, it was the Tuesday.
In the summer when we had a meeting
with Andy?
Yes.
The work session where you went over the items on the agenda?
Yes.
No, that's only this committee. That's only
development. Yeah, just ours.
And Melon, that's unique because the committee has a separate meeting on the Tuesday before the week before.
No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about he sat down and I don't think Eddie was there. I was there and he explained.
Yeah.
And I think he did it during one of those Tuesday meetings, right? He had you guys come in early?
He came in, like, separate. Yeah.
Well, he invited you in separate.
And he explained everything to us, how it works, like, explaining, like what they, like, so that we understand what you guys
excellent.
Are
so as a division head, he took the initiative to say, why don't you come in early and let me help explain to you how the committee works?
Yeah, and I'm wondering if other committees have that.
No,
probably not, but we can suggest and encourage division heads to offer that option.
Absolutely.
That's
especially
a great idea.
For finance and administration, because I was completely lost last year. I had no idea what.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, that's right down at the county building.
Human services.
We can encourage it. We can say that the youth and governance have requested
just
this as an option.
Just the two members from that get assigned to them.
Yeah, to spend some time orienting them before the committee starts. Yeah, great.
That's a good idea.
That is. We can
and
definitely
that would actually
do that.
Take care of the buzz-ish questions that, in effect, somebody took some time to go over the budget with them for an hour or two before that all starts. It would be really what they're looking for.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Great. I have two to just bring up because they've come to me via other avenues, and one of them is regarding mileage. This came from the Human Services Committee. One of the supervisors spoke to Sharon Davis and asked if youth and governance members received mileage. You two don't get any mileage. Mileage meaning reimbursement for driving to the meeting. No, that doesn't happen. For those of you who will remember back
when Human Services, I did not ask that question.
Back when this program was initiated, that was a very, that was a big concern of supervisors saying, if we would pay mileage the same way we pay supervisors, how would we do this? Where would the budget come from? And the extension committee at the time said, we're not expecting that. That is nothing that we're gonna build into this. We want this to be a no cost to the county program, so we're not gonna expect to reimburse students or youth members for mileage. So that's never been an issue.
How long was that discussion?
How long was that discussion? You probably know.
I'll do my personal time.
So now it was just been raised again. So I bring it to you just as an opportunity for you to make any thoughts or comments about it. Obviously, if you decide that they should be reimbursed for mileage, you'd have to figure out how to propose it to how it would be in the budget, yada yada. I mean, it'd be a larger than this committee decision is what I'm trying to say, how you might want to do that. But I just bring it to you because it was an issue raised.
No.
No.
Okay.
Before I would say no, I would want to know if there's a potential workman's comp issue with that if we reimburse somebody with mileage.
Wouldn't they have to be a county employee?
Yeah, because you're considered a county.
We'd have to have an employee-employer relationship with these. We don't. They would, they're covered under, no, they're not eligible.
Well, maybe not workman's comp, but maybe insurance.
They would be covered under, anyone covered, they're considered associates. If they slipped, got hurt, they're covered. Anyone's covered as a guest, as a member, as an associate, salespeople, anyone in here, coming in here, is covered. I mean, if an accident happens, they're covered.
Okay. Well, I just bring it up just so that you were aware. The second one is... an expectation that youth and governance members at a minimum attend the budget hearing of their oversight committee.
I think they did.
Oh, some do, some don't. That's right. That week of finance committee budget hearings, for example, when our budget for the extension committee or extension office is on, would the expectation would be that Madeline and Eddie be there. So there are just supervisors who are disappointed that youth and governance members, even though they're encouraged to attend those budget hearings, they don't. And supervisors have said to me, shouldn't they be required to do that? Well, it's not currently a policy, but I can address it with the PDEC committee and see what they say.
That's probably a good idea if you're sitting on human services to be there when the finance committee goes through the human services budget.
They just sat for the 2 hours that we went through it, and just to sit through for the same thing again.
That's a good point as well.
When they're doing the exact same thing, and considering, how many changes did they
considering
make to the budget?
The finance
zero?
Yeah. I was just going to say that. It's considering that this particular finance committee didn't make one single
except changed our
adjustment,
change back.
And they even changed our what we amended back to what the county executive recommended.
Although, in the human services, when we had, that was over Brookside, never mind. One of the youth and governance asked an outstanding question.
Great.
Absolutely the best question asked by anybody. Why don't we go to a bank to finance this? Couldn't have been a better question.
Bank to finance what?
Brookside. And the answer was given, but it was an outstanding question.
Great
from just
question.
Someone that is this thinking. Yeah. So, anyways.
That was at our committee meeting.
Yeah. Your committee.
She's talking about finance.
I'm just saying. At that meeting, it really was helpful. I mean,
if
I
you were going to have them go to a finance meeting, they would probably be better off if you're on human services, go to, judiciary and law, get a different, she's Aaron Drake. When you go to the human services, you're going to hear the same thing. I mean, we hear it three times. We almost got it memorized by the time we get to finance.
I would think it would be too redundant, especially considering they didn't change anything anyways.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to make a note that we did discuss it, but the consensus of the committee is that it would feel redundant because they hear the same thing covered at the department or the committee meeting regarding the budget.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Those were the only two that have come to my attention. I don't...
And for example, like in the case of human services, didn't we have the presentation and then the next, it moved around time-wise, and then it was like the next day they presented it. Who wants to go and sit for 2 days in a row for the human services budget?
That's tough.
I think
we were asking them to do enough.
They have a lot of expectations.
Yeah, I mean, they've got to do a bus, they've got to have 50% attendance or better.
I mean, if they wanted to come, we're more than happy.
They know they're invited. It's just that we don't want it to make it mandatory.
Yes. Okay. Invited, but not expect. Not okay.
I agree with that.
Related to this is the discussion that the notes that Carmelo shared with the buzz session, and I don't know how you want to bring that in now, Carmelo, but it's related to a lot of those issues were finance related, and you were talking about attendance and so on. So.
I guess during the bus session, I discussed with the group that there's a possibility that they would be required to attend, that future youth members would attend, the budget hearings. So I told them, I asked them first, what was their impression after participating in some of these hearings, and what can we do to, you know, to make them more accommodating so they can, you know, learn something from it. And that's where we have some of the feedback. Most of the youth that express basically express their concerns in terms of not really being able to follow through, not understanding, you know, what was discussed and some of the terminology. And I guess it's understandable. I myself am not an expert on finance, so I can see, you know, where they have, where they find it a bit challenging to follow through the conversation. So I told them, let's find a solution. What do you think would be a good tool for you to be prepared for, you know, or future members to be prepared to really get the best out of this experience? And they outline, you know, some recommendations. Can I see the...
Yep.
There's the letter for, I think there's a document here from the closed session.
You have that closed sheet
yes.
in there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, it should be. In fact, I think it's got a three-hole punch because the computer or the printer, I had the three-hole punch on. So
three-hole punch.
It's the three-hole punch one.
Okay. So basically they identify a couple of things that would help future members to get a better grasp of what's happening during this series. One was a fact sheet explaining budget and finance terminology. Some of the terminology that was used during those hearings, they just didn't know what they meant. And another is like a quick reference, you know, a couple of pages manual explaining budget-related matters and issues, you know. Very basic, you know, something doesn't have a lot of text, but that gives them some of the basics. And handouts explaining fast statistics and survey information, surveys informing decisions on what county supervisors are voting on. So it's, again, it's some of the information, like the, you know, background information, you know, of decision making. And then they mentioned maybe some short video tutorials explaining, you know, Kenosha County related finances.
So we share that only so you're aware.
So were most of the concerns based on the, or most of the concerns were pulled from the Finance Committee and the budget hearings?
I think that,
because
Carmelo presented the fact that one of the expectations could be in the future to expect you to attend budget hearings, this is where the whole finance discussion sort of led. Am I correct, Carmelo? It's not like, I mean, that sort of prompted them to say these questions on how confusing the budget process is to them.
Well, if the department heads, like you say, would hand out a list when they went around on the bus tour, you know, a lot of the questions, you know, might already be answered right there. Yeah, walking into a finance meeting right off the street, it's...
Yeah.
Well, that's why I think we need to get the department heads to do what Andy did.
Yeah, bring
you know,
in at time.
Not just a strong suggestion. I think they need to buy into it and do it so that they have, you know, that'd be right in the beginning, you know, so I think that would be just invaluable.
It's a learning thing. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
They could
even
come
to sit
here.
Down, at, you know, before the first meeting.
Right.
How about this? On the day that they're doing the training with you, the day that you know what I'm talking about, right?
Right,
whatever that's called.
Yeah.
The day before the swearing in, right? That thing. Is that where you could take, each two kids could go...
We do that right before the county board meeting, if that's what you're talking about, which is...
Each department head comes in and speaks to each two kids?
No.
Is that something could be done? You could take out 2 hours of, you know, out of that session?
No.
Because don't you... No.
I'm not going to give up that orientation. No, but I think it's absolutely expected that we could encourage those department and division heads to see the value of that.
Because I think it would be good even to do it before their first meeting.
Yes.
Is what I'm saying.
Yes,
because
absolutely.
Then they can sit down and explain even basics. I mean, because it's hard to explain. I mean, I explain it about the packets, and then they come on this day, and all the information's in there, and you'll get it emailed. And
that's what we do during the orientation. is
and
that.
You'll get emailed the agenda and, you know, all that stuff, and just to sit down with them to...
So you're saying, you know, okay, Human Services meets at 6:30, have them here at 5:30 and have the department head?
No, just one time.
Yeah.
One time.
Before the first, before... Yeah.
I'm not saying direct, it doesn't have to be right directly the same night, but before,
well, you know,
any time.
It might
before.
Be the most convenient
week,
to the
yeah.
youth if it was
could
the same night.
It could be an hour before, it could be a week before.
But mm-hmm. how much time, I mean, these kids are pretty busy.
Right.
They're already coming to the meeting.
Then that makes sense.
Yeah, but, you'd be there an hour early and the department head will...
Do some one-on-one time, or
yeah.
one-on-two time.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Yeah. yeah. Okay, I'm looking at the clock, folks, so I'm going
right.
to really speed us along here now. Operational guidelines for the committees is the next page behind the three-hole punch page. Attendance, we've already covered. The communication one, as I want you to see, is that we did have early on an issue with youth not receiving the communications. I think now that it's all electronic, that's by the wayside now. So probably the one that might fall through the cracks on occasions would be if a meeting is canceled or a location is changed, they have to remember to contact the youth about that as well. So if you're a mentor, I would just encourage you to connect with your mentor if that or your youth if you're ever in that situation. We did go through procedural efforts around how youth's vote is counted at a meeting. And so this was covered with all the committees prior to youth and governance even starting. And the one issue about closed sessions came up after we started the program. And now it is up to the chair of the committee to decide how youth and governance members will be a part of closed sessions. And the three options are to allow them to participate, to allow them only to participate on a case-by-case basis, or exclude them from all closed sessions.
But that's the chair of the committee.
The chair of the committee
okay.
makes that decision, yep.
Now I notice this here, and it's in bold. On roll call votes, their vote should be taken. When was that added? I thought that they were taken first, even on voice votes. Now, I, you know, in other words, I could just say, if it's not a roll call vote, I could just, all those in favor say aye, without specifically asking the two youth and governance first.
You actually have the better practice, Chairman. That's oh. really the better practice, is to get the votes, regardless of how it's taken, ahead of time, and then have the supervisors vote.
Okay.
You actually are doing it probably the best practice. That's the best way.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
definitely. Definitely.
That's what I've been doing. But
yeah.
It took me like 4 years to
Yeah, no, you're doing that. That is the best practice. And then, again, if a youth for any reason would ever go to a Wisconsin County's Association meeting or anything, they are not paid. There is no money for that as well. We made sure that there was no funds there. Okay.
Actually, if they actually went to that, I think we should be open to considering mileage for that.
I would think so, too.
Yep.
Okay, well, previous, you can change that, but that had actually come up a couple of times, and that was not decided upon.
Well,
so if there's a youth and governance member who'd come to us and request funding.
They would not want to go to that.
Yeah. I'm thinking you're not going to get too many requests, right?
That would be death for those people going to
that. All right, I handed you the statistics, so you saw those.
5 minutes and you'd run, scream. No. Don't go.
All right. I want to point out the statistic, or that you saw the statistics, the program expenses. Remember I said we wanted this program to be a no-cost program? Well, no such thing, right? Nothing's ever no cost. So a couple of years ago, I sat down and started calculating what is the cost of the program. So in that sheet, you're going to see what the county board does pay for refreshments, and they pay for the bus. Our office does all the printing, does all of that paperwork piece, pays for some of a little bit of the refreshments. Brookside is generously supplying a lunch every year in kind. That is spread is awesome. I don't know, we so appreciate that. The county executive office presents the pins, and then the county clerk's office gives them all the county directories. So you can see that there are some costs to the program. Okay. The last page that I really want you to look at is the interview rating form, and that's that orange sheet. Okay. There are two sides to the orange sheet. The first side just says interview rating form, and this is what you use when you're actually interviewing the youth in a face-to-face interview. Those are the five questions we currently have. If you want to make changes to those, you can do them tonight or any time between now and March 31st. What we typically do is we review those questions prior to the meeting. Each supervisor picks one question. You ask the same question to every youth. If you flip it over, we have an interview rating form if you're a returning member, because there are occasions when you have a junior who's in the program who comes back and has reapplied and is interviewed as a senior.
You missed a big question that none of them ever get. Who's your county supervisor?
Do you know? It's actually now, it's actually on the application now. Because you're right, Supervisor Gable. Everybody missed that one. And so we finally got to the point where let's just put it on the application and make them look it up. Before
they come. Trick question, right? It's either a trivia question or a trick question.
Supervisor Decker, having done this, do you have any comments or questions? I feel like we edited the rating form last year and edited the questions. Are you feeling pretty good about the new changes we made?
I think so. Because we edited it again last year, and we had edited the previous year.
Yes.
So I think it was fine.
It felt like it went better this last year?
Yes.
Okay.
It looked good to me, but I haven't done it before.
So. Okay. Well, Chairman, I'm going to, the last thing I need to say about the rating form is that, as the Chairman, all the forms come back to you to be compiled, but I'm willing to help you.
Okay. I would think that's a good suggestion.
I'll make that offer.
I think that's a very good offer.
But so as Chairman, you collect it all and we compile it. Okay, so that's how you make the recommendation. Okay. I've already said the interviews are March 31st and April 1st. So have you sign up? Did you get signed up, Supervisor Gable? So we'll just let Supervisor Skolitsky and Decker figure out which ones you're going to do.
March 30th.
Okay. And it's earlier in the evening, but we'll be set for that. Yeah. So no.
And where's that at again?
KCAP. Second floor, conference room at County Admin Building.
I thought you were kidding.
If you need my change, just let me know. I don't care.
You can be flexible,
either
too?
Day,
okay.
It doesn't matter. I don't have
okay.
a lot
Okay. Great. Good. All righty. Thank you all. This is painful but important. So thank you.
So do you have anything from program updates?
We do. I've got a couple, and actually the educators have one quick one. I'm going to report for Barb, who's on vacation in Florida at Orlando, and she would like the committee to be aware of the upcoming grounds maintenance and landscape class that's held every February for commercial horticulture professionals. It's here at the Kenosha County Center Building, and we must be over 40 years now consecutively where we've held this for horticulture professionals, commercial horticulture professionals. So it's a great class. It's a one way for them to get all their information. So I wanted you to be aware of that. All right, Amy.
All right. Just quickly, I'm giving a webinar tomorrow on the study that I've mentioned before. It's the analysis of downtown storefront improvements. I just made some copies because I really would like to get the word out about the study. Thank you. Basically, this is just the executive summary. It's a very long document that actually is beautifully done. It has photos before and after storefront improvements were completed on downtown buildings. Basically, we wanted to show what were the economic impacts of these improvements, what can business owners expect. On page one there is just a very quick summary of some of our findings, and then there's more description of them. So. There was also a visit on Friday from my program area director who came from Madison. I invited him down to show him some of the work I'm doing in economic development. And he brought an economic development specialist as well with him, and some of my colleagues from around the southeast region here were in town. So I brought them over and introduced them to some of my partners at CABA and the Main Street program, and also Harbor Market. So they were really impressed. Teddy was great and helped me conduct this whole tour. So it was a lot of fun, and I think people were shocked at how much is happening here in Kenosha. So.
I have been working with the gender leaders and the project leaders of the Kenosha County 4-H program, and then of course also with the office supports with the 4-H council in putting things together. So we have put together the 12 months from January to December of all the meetings that we're doing and the times and locations hopefully on there. So if you guys want a heads up of what we're doing, that's in there. And that has everything to go from the Kenosha County 4-H Awards Night to project meetings to club meetings, and then also some fun activities like the Pinewood Derby that the council helps put on. Every kid gets a block of wood like this that they register for, and then the last Monday in February, they bring in their cars. Some of them are very fancy, and some of them may still just be this block of wood. And we race them down our Pinewood Derby track, and then we the kids have a chance to kind of learn their STEM, so science, technology, engineering, and math, as they build their car and race their car and how it works.
Thanks.
What's Friday?
Friday is the family game night, where the ambassadors are doing a community service with kindergarten through sixth grade. We currently have 50 kids registered, so I'm going to have to send out an email, I'm thinking, to parents saying, you might have to drop your kids off and leave, because I don't know if I have enough room for you in the Paris Elementary School gym. So the ambassadors create all these different games, and they play mud, they play dodgeball, they'll do a parachute thing. So it's just a chance for them to get interactive with kids around the county, instill those friendships, and then keep them coming back to 4-H.
It's going to be my first my first year, you know, in Family Game Night, so I'm looking forward to it. So I just wanted to share the 2013-14 JAR Impact Report. We decided to redesign the art, because we all know that looks really count. So I'm just going to pass this around. And the CIPAR report has a description of all the projects that were granted by the YAR board. It'll give you an idea of the impact of some of the youth led service projects that our program promotes. And next month, I'll give you some additional, good news about the program.
I'm going to add, piggybacking on to that, that we received, Carmelo works with the YAR board, the youth and adults who grant the awards, which, by the way, Supervisor Decker is an adult member of, so thank you, Supervisor Decker. I work with the Endowment Committee. When Supervisor Leonard Johnson passed away, his wife, Pat, established an endowment for him in his honor to benefit youth as resources. That endowment is set up at the Kenosha Community Foundation. When she passed this last year, her daughter now has sent, as a result of her endowment, $1,500 towards the endowment fund. So it's got an extra boost and a contribution from Pat's endowment. So their children have continued to support that, which is pretty awesome, which is really cool. And then lastly, for my report, I'm just going to share with you that I, along with United Way, will be doing a poverty simulation at Wheatland Center School next month. They are also going to include Randall and Lakeview. It's for teachers and staff, and it's an experiential experience where, as a participant, they walk in the door and they're assigned a family identity, and that family identity is a scenario of a family in poverty. And the room is set up like a little mini community. So it's like a Sim City, if you will, only people are actually staffing a table. There's a table for human services, a table for the grocery store, quick cash, all the elements. And then they go around and they follow the expectations on their card and go through simulating the life of a family for 3 days in 15-minute increments.
Maybe so it's a quick cash, payday loan.
Exactly, payday loan, yep. Yeah, a payday loan, you got it.
Stay away.
Yep, you got it. So I wanted you just to be aware of that. That's a unique element that UW Extension does across the state is a poverty simulation. So that's coming up. Lastly, I'll just announce that Lee Presley is in the middle of, actually at the final stages of completing all the applications that have come in for the Farm Fresh Atlas, so that it can now be submitted for printing, so you can have a fresh copy in your hands early spring of all the places to buy fresh produce and meats and all the good things for eating local. So they're in the middle of doing that right now. And that's all we have.
That's it?
I just have one question. Carmelo, it seems like the bus session raised a lot of good questions that revealed a lot about improvements having to make for youth and governance as a whole. So is there any way that we would want to have more bus sessions than next year, than only two?
That's a great question. Let me give you a quick history. We required them. We had them quarterly. Attendance went down drastically. To one of the years, absolutely no one came. It's like two kids. So John said, obviously it's not a value to the youth. So we stopped them all together. The next class came back and said, wow, it'd be great if we could get together as youth and governance members and share. So you're actually the first class to come back into the realm of having a session, and Carmelo came up with the term buzz session, which is great. So it's just now coming back. So it's, I don't know what to tell you, Eddie. It's like, is it a good thing? I don't know. You're all really busy, and previous youth ahead of you said, don't make me go to another meeting, and they stopped coming. And who's to predict what the next year's class is going to look like? I don't know. It's tough.
How many did you have?
We're going to have two this year. One in the fall, and one this, what, March? Is it March or February?
I assume they got email access to you. They could, during any time during the year, they could zip you off an email with some suggestions or something. Or do you want more formal?
It's a networking thing, right?
So mm-hmm. You think governance members here will facilitate, and we want to make it, you know, fun, and you know, and yes, we want to gather some information that we can provide, you know, provide you, to strengthen the program, but we still want to keep it light and fun,
right.
so people do show up.
Okay.
So the youth is they take leadership in facilitating.
It's a tough call. I don't know what to say. You're a student who says, yeah, let's do it. I'll come. Does everybody feel that way? Yeah, it's tough. It is tough. It's hard. I don't know the answer to that. But it did get to the point where we held them quarterly, attendance dropped down to nothing, and we just said it's obviously not of value.
Right.
We have a cool quorum, but we need to see what's happening, in a few months from, if we still have a quorum.
And maybe that's a question to ask the youth at the February buzz session, the youth and governors who are there. Should we do this more? We've got two. Should we be doing it more? And see what they say.
And they know I send a lot of reminders, so, they get a lot of reminders,
Why don't you ask that question at the next one?
Definitely.
All right. Motion to recess in 5 minutes at 5 minutes in the other room.
So moved.
Motion by Supervisor Redcliffe, second by Supervisor Decker to recess. All in favor say aye.
Aye.